Hi, my name is Kirk Kinder, and this is Saving Yourself from Wall Street, the podcast for people who want to avoid Wall Street's sales tactics, high cost, and conflicted advice so they can take control of their financial life. So let's get to it. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Saving Yourself from Wall Street podcast. And this week, I'm going to go back and really kind of repeat an earlier presentation. I tried to take a webinar or video that I did for clients and convert it into an MP from an MP4 to an MP3 so it could be a podcast. And I think there were some tech issues with it. I know when I tried to listen to it in iTunes, it actually brought up the video, which was kind of cool. But I think a lot of people, if you're in your car or something, you probably wouldn't be able to listen to it because it's trying to bring up a video. So I'm going to basically redo the podcast episode called Blizzard, Winter, or Ice Age. If you prefer to see this via video, I do have that at the SavingYourselfFromWallStreet.com website. You can watch the video. There's a lot of graphs with it, so you can kind of get a little bit better understanding of what I'm talking about here. I also want to say for next week, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Federal Reserve. I'm always trying to educate people on how the system works. So the Fed today on 4/9, when I'm actually recording this, the Fed came out with another $2 trillion backstop, and this time it's going into junk bonds. Won't get too much into all of that, but essentially, I mean, the Fed is just completely wrecking any kind of capitalist market that we have. And I'm going to talk a little bit next week about what is the Fed, why do we have the Fed, what's the history of the Fed, and then get into some of the things they've been doing. And I'm not a big fan of the Fed. I really am not. And I know a lot of people try to say, oh, we couldn't function without the Fed, blah, blah, blah. But that's what we're going to do next week. And also, I'm going to start getting some more interviews back into the podcast. I know I've kind of deviated from that a little bit. Got some good interviews coming up, some really interesting people. So, you know, you should start to see those on the weekly basis as well. Also, I wanted to alert you to something I'm trying to do every Saturday. I'm trying to get more information out there to clients. So I'm doing something called Coffees with Kirk. So every Saturday at 9 a.m., I'm doing a webinar. You can find out more information on SavingYourselfFromWallStreet.com. But you're free to jump in and just listen. Really, what the Coffees with Kirk is going to do is present a little bit of information to clients, sort of what I'm doing with their money, what trades I'm making, what I'm looking at. But it's also an opportunity for clients to ask me questions. Because as you can imagine, I'm getting a lot of the same questions from people individually, and it makes it difficult to get, you know, it takes a lot more time if I have to answer 50 people as opposed to being able to do one presentation and get it to 50 people at once. So it's a good opportunity for you to hear what I'm talking to clients about, but also maybe ask some questions yourself. So let's kind of jump in to this week's. Again, this is a recap of what I had done about 3 weeks ago. Did a presentation for clients when this first started getting a little bit rough. And I call it the Blizzard, Winter, or Ice Age. And what is this market? What is it? Is it going to be just a blizzard? Is this just a bad outcome? Is the coronavirus going to create a bad one-time event, but then we kind of just get through it? The snow melts and everything's great. Or is this a winter? Is this a typical bear market where it's going to be longer than what a blizzard would be? But you know that spring and summer are right around the corner, so it's not that bad. Or is this an ice age? Is this something that is really going to be kind of like a Great Depression? Are we going to see unemployment and GDP contraction to the point that we saw back in the 1930s? And you may think, oh, that's crazy. There's no way that happened. Do not dismiss it. The fact that it's happened before means that it could easily happen again. So let's jump into it a little bit. So as I mentioned, the blizzard is kind of a, you know, it's a one-off event. It's something that's a deviation from the norm. And I usually talk about the volatility index, or VIX. You know, if you look at a historical chart, even dating back to the early 90s, you notice that there's two periods where the VIX just went parabolic, you know, over 60. And it was in 2008 during that crisis, and then it's basically what's been going on so far in 2020. So are what we're seeing is it's just something that's hitting us and then it's going to subside. And the best historical example we have that we can remember of this was 1987. So those of you who were alive then or probably invested then might remember 87 very well. We started to see the market pull back a little bit in August of 1987, but the headlines was October of 87 when the market dropped 20% in one day. And then the month of October, it dropped 25% total. What you had then was a period where essentially there was some market inefficiencies that were taken care of, but we never went into recession. And the market, once the initial correction happened, it just started picking up from there. And by the time we got to 1989, the market was already back to where it was before the crash in 87. So it wasn't a huge event as far as economics, and it wasn't a huge event as far as the market staying down for a prolonged period of time. So then you jump to the next thing, which is a winter. So we go from a blizzard to a winter. Now, what's winter mean? Well, winter is a longer period of economic downturns or market downturns. It's more of a season. It's not a one-time event like a blizzard. It's seasonal. And that's what your normal recession / bear market is. And that's what it was in 2008. What that means is, all right, we're going to have a kind of a longer period. Typically, a true bear market or a winter goes between 8 months and 18 months. But then it's followed again by spring or summer or something that things are getting better. That's usually what you're going to see. So, you know, for instance, in 2008, you had a period where the market started to come down a little bit in the fall of 2007. Now, most people remember 2008 as being painful, but it really started to kind of deflate in 2007. And then, of course, you had a really bad September, October of 2008, followed by a nice upturn, and then another fade down until March of 2009. Now, the typical bear market is going to have a big downdraw where it's pretty sharp, followed by a really rapid upturn. So you start to think, hey, all right, the worst is over. And then the market just fades again and goes even deeper than the initial drop. So right now, as I'm recording this again, it's, you know, April 9th. We're seeing the market really start to jump this past week. So people are starting to feel confident again, like maybe the worst is over. We're getting past the top of the virus counts. So there's optimism. Now, remember, a bear market likes to inflict as much pain on people as possible. So when the first drop happens, people panic. They might sell, especially selling near the bottom. And then they start to see a rip roar up like we're having right now. And they think, okay, it's over. I got to get back in. Jump back in, and then the bear market attacks again. And you see the market deflate. Now, I'm not saying that that doesn't always happen, but usually it's a pretty good pattern that you see in most winter or bear markets like that. Again, nobody knows what the future holds, but I just can't imagine, considering the economic damage that we've had happen, even with the massive Fed intervention, that we're there. Now, the third thing to look at, the third phase that could be a possibility, is an ice age. And what I mean from that is it's just an absolute, almost a decimation of the financial markets. Something that we saw back in the 30s, 1930s. Is that a possibility? Yes, it is. It is a possibility. Am I saying that's going to happen? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But you have to be pretty nimble as an investor, and you have to acknowledge that this could happen. For instance, in the 2008 recession, the gross domestic product only dropped about 7%. It didn't really, that's not good, but that's not cataclysmic. But the markets went down 53%. So compare that to the 1920s, 1930s depression, where GDP growth dropped by 25%. and unemployment also reached 25%. Let's look at today. What are we looking at? Well, we don't know what GDP is going to do. We know it's down. We know we're going to be in recession, but is it going to be 10%? Is it going to be 20%? Is it going to be 30%? We do see that unemployment is easily going to hit the 10% level. And for comparison purposes, 2008, unemployment hit 10% then as well. So if we see GDP stay maybe down about 10% total for the year, and we hit 10% unemployment, yeah, we're kind of tracking what happened in 2008. But if this goes on longer, or if the growth rate continues to decrease for the economy, you're going to see more and more unemployment. And it wouldn't be surprising to think that we could see 25% unemployment. Interesting article that I read talking about how 79 million Americans are employed by small businesses. And this article said, well, most small businesses have enough cash on hand to keep their full workforce through the month of April. That's on average. Some obviously more, some less. If they were to lay off 10% of their workforce, that gets them to mid-May to maybe the end of May. If they lay off 50% of their workforce, they might get to July. So if this, you know, if they, for whatever reason, shut us down to July, I can't imagine them doing that. But if they did, you're looking at probably a 50% reduction of those 79 million jobs. So think about that. Almost 40 million people would be laid off. That's massive. I mean, right there, when you factor in, there's probably, you know, fully employed. I mean, there's, 130 million households. Some of those are two income, obviously, but 40 million, that's easily going to get us to 25% unemployment right there, easily. That's just small business. That's not even the big guys. So, you know, where's this thing going to head? I don't know, but you have to be thinking that it could end up as an ice age. And the thing is, in this presentation that I gave before, I talked about how we were positioned in the market, in the stock market, for absolute perfection. It was priced to perfection. I use the 200-day moving average to get clients out of the market. So if the market moves below 200-day moving average, we get out, we go to bonds, we go to cash. So I did get out before really the big downturn, but at the peak, before the market started to turn down, the market was three standard deviations above the 200-day moving average. So it was like as high as it ever gets above the 200-day moving average. And again, to think about standard deviations, remember, one standard deviation means that about 68% of all the occurrences fall within one standard deviation. And then if you go to two standard deviations, that's 95%. Three standard deviations gets you to that 99%. So it was in the top 1% as far as being above the 200-day moving average. So the market was really priced to perfection. And in fact, if you look at most typical valuation metrics, and there's numerous that you can look at, it had the market as expensive as the 2000 peak in most of the metrics that I look at. Okay, so if you look at things like the price to sales, so price of stocks relative to sales, it's an all-time high, even eclipsing 2000 in 1929. If you look at the enterprise value divided by earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, all-time high. If you look at other things like total market cap to GDP, it was in the top one percentile all time. If you look at the cyclically adjusted price to earnings, a CAPE, which is one I've talked about previously, developed by Robert Shiller, a Nobel Prize winning economist, it was in the top 4% of all time, only eclipsed by 2000. Median price to book, top 4% all time. So this market was absolutely priced to perfection and was really overvalued. That was before the downturn. So the valuations tell you nothing about short-term movements, but it does give you a good idea of long-term. And looking at the Shiller's CAPE ratio, looking at Jeremy Grantham, who's a very good prognosticator of market returns, looking at the Q ratio by a money manager, Tobin. If you look at market cap to GDP, which is Warren Buffett's favorite metric, all of those were showing at best over the next 10 years a 2.6% annualized return, some were as low as negative 4% annualized. So before this market downturn, we were looking at really low ensuing 10-year returns on the U.S. market. Even with this pullback now, we're still only looking at maybe anywhere from a negative 1% the next 10 years to maybe up to 4%. So it still hasn't really pulled back to the point where you have compelling valuations based on earnings. And the earnings were based on, well, the CAPE is based on 10 years, but the other earnings were kind of based on current earnings before all of this happened. So what's going to happen when earnings go down substantially due to the coronavirus? So, you know, based on valuations, we could, just to get to a fair value, we could go another 35 to 40% down from here and just hit fair valuation. The other thing that's really been going against us that really was a headwind is the amount of debt that we have. This is another topic I preach about all the time. And if you're a client of mine listening to this, you've probably seen me show you the graph of total U.S. debt as a percentage of gross domestic product. And if you look at a chart dating all the way back to the 1870s, there's really two huge spikes. One of them was 1930, so the Great Depression, when total U.S. debt, and when I say total U.S. debt, I mean individual debt, corporate debt, and government debt, it reached 2 times the gross domestic product. In 2008, as things were collapsing, we hit 3.6 or 360% of GDP. So even higher than the 1929-1930 peak, we were substantially above that. Now, since 08, we have come down. We're down to about 310% debt to GDP. So we have this massive amount of debt, and debt is over time deflationary. While you're building debt, it's actually, it's a tailwind. If you think about it as an individual, if you were spending more money than you make, if you're using credit cards, you can actually live above your means for quite a while. The credit card companies only require about 2% of the balance be paid every single month. So you can go a long time spending more money than you make. But eventually that 2% figure ends up becoming too big for you to pay. So once you get to that point, you don't have any good choices. You either default on the debt, you cut your consumption radically, or you start to sell other assets in order to pay the debt. All three of those are deflationary. And that's kind of what you get to the point with an economy when it gets to have too much debt. You just get to the point where the market naturally wants to shed itself of the debt, which is deflationary. So again, either you're going to default on the debt, which is bad. You now have a banking crisis. You have a solvency crisis. Companies start to sell assets. So here again, you have kind of a deflationary downturn because you're selling stocks, you're selling bonds, you're selling gold, you're selling real estate in order to raise cash for the debt. Or you're going to just cut consumption, which is bad for the economy. So you just get to this point where that happens. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm certainly not smart enough to know it. And really, I don't think it has anything to do with smarts. It just has, nobody knows the future. But we have some serious headwinds in our face along with the coronavirus. So this isn't just a coronavirus issue. We had structural imbalances that are being exposed because of the coronavirus. What's that going to do for markets? I don't know. But I think you need to be thinking that at the very best, we're looking at a typical blizzard. So we might have a few more months of some very volatile markets and potential downside. Or if this thing gets really deep, we're looking at kind of an ice age. So again, this is something, if you want to get a little bit more into it, I've got lots of graphs. I have more visuals on the videos on the website. Also, I want to remind you again, Coffees with Kirk. You can find that information on the website as well, savingyourselffromwallstreet.com. I hope this was useful. I'm going to get back to doing some more interviews. Love to get some other thoughts and processes. One of the big things I want to do is bring back some of the experts I already interviewed just to get their ideas in the market today. But appreciate you listening and hope to talk to you soon. Well, that's it for this episode of the Saving Yourself from Wall Street podcast. I appreciate you stopping in. As always, you can find our podcast, along with other articles and videos, at savingyourselffromwallstreet.com. And now, the lawyers say hi.
Saving Yourself from Wall Street is hosted by Kirk Kinder. Kirk Kinder is the owner of Picket Fence Financial, a fee-only financial planning firm. Picket Fence Financial is regulated by the states of Maryland and Florida in accordance and in compliance with securities laws and regulations. Picket Fence Financial does not render or offer to render personalized financial or tax advice through the Saving Yourself from Wall Street podcast. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice.